1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Ella wanted to come with me. I told her to take that toy. I had to go preach. She said, I don't go with you. Takes after her grandmother. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Brother Jimmy coming in tonight made me think about that verse. Not just him, but several of you in here who are older and have continued to run the race with patience and endurance. Looking back on your life, knowing that it's been trying times, it's been difficult times, it's been ups and downs and challenges in your life, you've remained faithful. You remain dedicated. Charlie says a lot of time when he's up here, and others say it as well, talking about different ones. I won't call anyone's name because you're all equally important. I don't want to leave someone out. But the church here at Treasment is still here because of you. Because of your dedication, because of your commitment, because of you continuing to come to encourage younger people, to encourage middle-aged people to remain faithful, to have the dedication that you have, even when you don't feel good or don't feel like being here, you find it within yourself to be here. And I applaud you for that, and I appreciate it so very much, because I need that example in my life, and I know there's others that need it as well. For someone to say, I am going to worship God, even though I don't feel real good or feel the best in the world, I'm going to go. And I appreciate all of y'all for the stand that you take and the example that you showed for me over the many years that I've known all of you by living here at Treasment and the dedication that you have. And I appreciate it, and I hope and I pray that those of us who are younger, one day that people will say the same thing about us. That when we get on up in years, that they'll say they remained faithful. Because it's the most important thing that you'll ever do, is staying faithful to God and dedicated to God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to get to the verse that Josh read for us, but I want to read a little in the book of Matthew first to kind of set a little bit of groundwork for my sermon tonight. It's going to be from Matthew chapter 26. We'll start with verse 38. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'll be skipping down, reading certain verses, and I will tell you the verse that we're going to. We're going 38, 39, 42, and 43 to start with. Jesus talking, and he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. He went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but thy will. Verse 42. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And then if you look down at verse 52, it says, put up again thy sword unto thy place, for all they that take the sword will perish with the sword. 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Verse 64, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. What does all of this have in common? The verses I read from Matthew chapter 26 and then also Titus, what does all this have in common? Well, for me, I'll tell you what I was thinking when I pulled these verses out. I was thinking about it all pointed to or during or after the fact of Jesus on the cross. You see, when we started reading in chapter 26, we know that Jesus was right before the crucifixion, and I preached a sermon not long ago about the hardship and the pain and the suffering and the agony that he went through before that time. And you can only imagine, I guess, him praying to his Father in heaven that if it be any way, maybe another way, that this could be accomplished. That's what I'm wanting. But then the second time he prayed, he said, if this is it, then thy will be done. And then we know the phrases that he said on the cross. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, I thirst. And he also said, it is finished. He had got to that point. He had endured, as I said this morning in my sermon, he had faced Jerusalem, and he knew where he was going. He prayed, he suffered, he sweat, and he bled, and he died. And then what I read in Titus is looking back, telling us what we get from it. When you think about the cross tonight, what do you think about? What does the cross bring to me? What does the cross bring to you? What is it that's so special about the cross? You know, we come together on the first day of the week, and we worship God, and we sing, and we pray, and we study from his word, we give back, but then we partake of the Lord's Supper, and at that point, we're remembering Christ's death, the sacrifice that he made. We're remembering his body, we remember his blood, and hopefully we focus and we concentrate on that while we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, and our mind goes back, and it tells us, and it helps us to remember how awful it was for Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but I remember when I was young, getting in trouble. Y'all ever get in trouble? I would get in trouble at school. I think I got a whipping every year. Mr. Bledsoe, he whooped me every day, it seemed like. I got in trouble at home. And the one thing I would try to do from time to time, Terry, was try to pull my sister into it at home. You know, she started it, she caused it. And what I was trying to do is get myself off the hook and put her on the hook. And we would do that at school, I guess, from time to time as well. But when we think about getting in trouble, we think about punishment, we think about things that we do, we know that we did it wrong. And we knew we had to pay the consequences for it. Jesus paid it. And did nothing wrong. Matter of fact, he could look at Terry and he could say, Terry, it is your fault. He could look at Tim and say, Tim, it is your fault. I'm being punished. I am sacrificing myself. And I've done nothing wrong. And the verse that we read when he was talking to Peter, he said, do you not understand I could call 10,000 angels? He had the resources. You know, we may say, don't mess with me. I tell you what, you mess with me, I'll call Keith. And Keith's a buddy of mine. He'll show up. Keith's going to stand with me. And if I don't get a hold of Keith, I'll call John Henry. John Henry will come to my house. He'll help me. We're talking about God. We're talking about God that he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world. And how does the song, and set him free? But he died alone for you and for me. So what does the cross bring to you tonight? I promised a short lesson, so let me get into it. When we think about the cross, we have to think about a ransom. A ransom was paid. Several years ago, I meant to look it up before I got here to give a little more details, to try to be more like Steve and Nick and remember more about movies, but I forgot to look it up. But Mel Gibson was in a movie years ago, and I don't know if it was a good movie or a bad movie, so I'm not recommending anybody watch it or don't watch it. But it was the title of it, Ransom, I think. And he was rich, and if I remember correctly, he owned a airline. And someone kidnapped his son. And I don't remember the dollar amount that they wanted, but it was a pretty high dollar amount, several million dollars possibly, that they wanted to bring their son back or bring his son back. And he tried to deliver that money at one time. Something went wrong. Well, Mel Gibson got mad in the movie then, and then he got on the news and he said, look, I'm not going to pay you. Matter of fact, this is a bounty now. This is a bounty on your head. Instead of me paying you money to bring back what's mine, I'm going to pay someone to get you. In other words, I'm not going to pay you a dime because you're guilty for what you've done, but I am going to pay this good Samaritan, whoever wants the money out here, to bring you to me or to bring this to justice. And it turned the whole movie around. I remember that. What is it about a ransom? You know, if you go back and you think, actually, before I get any further, the definition, the word ransom means a price paid for the release or redemption of a captive. During times of war, it was common that if you had a lot of worth to you or you was worth a lot to the military, that they would pay a ransom to get you back. If someone big, someone important was captured, they would pay to get you back because they wanted you back with them and on their side. So we all understand and we know what the word ransom means, but how does that apply to us and how does that apply to Jesus and the cross? You know, Josh read for us, and I'll read it for you one more time. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus knew that he was going to do this because you notice what he says right here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, it says, and to give his life a ransom for many. Even though Jesus paid that ransom for all, there will only be a few that will take advantage of it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says what? The wages of sin is death. So that's what we have all got coming without the ransom being paid. And Jesus died and paid that ransom for all who have ever lived, living now or will live, he paid that, but there's only going to be a few that will allow themselves to accept or to have that. If you turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14, it talks about a path and it talks about a direction that we go. You know, the good thing or the easy way to look at life, and so many do, that everybody is okay and everybody is going to go to heaven. But if you look at chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. I wonder why that is. Wonder why it's difficult. Wonder why it's narrow. Wonder why it's going to be few that find it. Why is it that everybody who's ever lived will not accept or take advantage of the ransom that was paid? In 1829, I think I've used this illustration before in another sermon, Wilson and Porter were convicted of robbing the U.S. mail, and they were sentenced to death by hanging. 3 weeks before the time was set for Wilson's execution, he was pardoned by President Jackson. Strangely enough, Wilson refused the pardon. The case went to the Supreme Court, and the court finally handed down the decision. A pardon is a deed which is delivered and not complete without the acceptance of it. It may be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered. And if rejected, we have discovered no power in this court to force it upon him. I know I messed that up. I'm not going to read it again either. What he's saying there is that the man refused to be pardoned for the crime. They carried it to the Supreme Court, tried to get him off the hook. The Supreme Court ruled is if he don't want this pardon, you can't force it upon him. And folks, that's what we have today. We look back then in 1829 and say, you know, he was crazy for not accepting that, but so many people today will not accept the pardon either. The ransom's been paid. The idea of a ransom also suggests taking the place of another's death. And that's where the cross comes in. It's not just money. It suggests taking my place. One final story. Once two young brothers were playing on an old bell tower, and he climbed several feet above a concrete floor. They were hanging on a joist that broke. And as they began to fall, the older brother caught hold of another two before, and his little brother grabbed hold of his brother's legs. There they were hanging, suspended several feet above the concrete floor. The older brother tried to raise himself to safety, but with his little brother hanging on, he was unable to do so. After many efforts, the little brother looked up and asked, "Could you save yourself if I were not holding on to you?" The older brother answered yes. The little brother turned loose and fell to his death so that the older brother could live. Jesus made the same choice for mankind. He gave himself so we can live. Brethren, let's not fail to take advantage of the love that Jesus has for us. When you think about the cross, we have to think about the ransom that was paid. And we got to take hold of it in our life. And that should be a driving force for us to be dedicated, to be faithful, to be an encourager, to be out evangelizing, trying to win other people to Jesus. It should be what puts a smile on our face and a light in our heart. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you with the song that Jacob has announced. Through your faith, your willingness to turn away from sin, to confess that Jesus is Lord, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here and you've been unfaithful and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, come while we stand and sing.